Today's scripture is Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20, New International Version. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Go ahead and pray together for a moment. Lord Jesus, I'm praising you for these words that you've given us in your scripture. I'm praising you for the words you've laid on my heart to say about it. We're just asking, oh God, that by the power of your Spirit, that these words, as they are pleasing to you, they might lodge themselves in our hearts and change us, make us more like you. In your precious name, amen. So, as you know, I spent, and Kathleen, right there, and Patrick, we spent about 10 days with the youth a couple of weeks ago going on a long, long trip up to Washington to do mission work. And man, we spent a lot of time in the van, and many of you have seen my van. It's an awesome van, but it's not a luxury van. It's a van. And we spent about 21 hours driving up and about 21 hours coming back. So that's 40-something hours on the road. That's not including breaks. And we slept on church floors all the way up, you know, because we couldn't really afford the motel thing. So we had a lot of nice churches who reached out to us or allowed us to come into their spaces and kind of just crash on the floor. So what we kind of understood, or what I kind of learned, or relearned, I guess, is that when you're on a trip like that, when you're traveling as hard as that, some things you just know are going to go by the wayside. Now, the first thing that went for all of us was showers, right? You just kind of get used to the fact that that just isn't going to happen. It's just, you're going to do other things, right? The second thing that you really find out that you're going to have to just jettison is eating healthy. Now, once we got up there to the site, they had great food for us, nutritious food. It was awesome. But on the trip, man, it wasn't quite the same. Our culinary, you know, discernment came down to Googling food near me, you know, and getting off the freeway at those plazas where, you know, there's everything is there, right? McDonald's and Carl's Jr. and A&W and KFC, all of them are there, you know. But it's on trips like that and eating food like that that people at least my age become very much aware again of that intimate connection between what we take into our bodies and how those bodies are going to perform. Body, that in my case, that I hope, you know, will last a little while longer anyway. Yeah, so it was with some trepidation that I found myself standing in a church kitchen with the whole group and digging into a box of 24 Taco Bell tacos at 12:30 in the morning. And I'm like, okay, this is probably not going to be good for me. You know? But you have to put those things in perspective, don't you? After all, we're on our way to do a good thing. We're on our way to do God's work. And the fact of it is, you know, the nutrition we take into our bodies, even over the long term, you're talking about nutrition that is going to sustain these bodies, but these bodies are going to wear out one day. They're going to expire. But that's not the same for the spiritual nourishment we take. The spiritual nourishment we take, that's going to power our souls, isn't it? The spiritual nourishment we take, that we soak up, that makes a difference in the way we approach life. It comes out of us in our attitudes and our actions towards others. And the spiritual nourishment that we take makes us fit for an eternity with God, an eternity that begins right now. I think that's what Jesus is talking a lot about today. It's that time frame, eternity, and the fitness of our spirits to be made fit for God for eternity. You hear him today, he's talking with those Pharisees again. And in the Pharisees, you know, he's contending with them. And he's contending with them over the issue that seems to always be between them. The Pharisees had worked out over hundreds of years these system of laws and regulations, this sort of ceremonial and ritual law that they really believed the people needed to adhere to in order to be pleasing to God, in order to be seen by God as pleasing. But the fact is, the people were having such a hard time keeping up with all these laws and regulations that they seemed further from God than ever. And Jesus came knowing that that isn't what God's plan is for his people. That isn't what God wants for his people. That God doesn't want people to come to him and to be pleasing him like a checklist. He wants people to come to him and be pleasing him because of their love for him and because we know we have confidence in his love for us. Jesus, in every way, in so many ways, said over and over again, really made the point that our right relationship with God, our right relationship with God is not a doing thing, it's a who-ing thing. It's not a doing thing, it's a who-ing thing. When who we are is a lover of God, if loving God is the cornerstone of who we are naturally going to want to do the things that pleases him. We are naturally going to be his people. And Jesus makes this point over and over and over again. And it's an easy point to remember for us, right? Because we see that in all kinds of ways in our lives. It's the things that we love that we really want to go out for, right? How many of you ever went out for athletics at all and tried to get on a team? Yeah. Well, then you know. You want to get on a team. But sometimes your abilities and what it takes to get on that team, they just don't match. There's a big gap there, right? Maybe if you're going out for football, you're not fast enough. Maybe you just can't catch well enough. Maybe you're just too light, you know? But listen, if someone is forcing you to go out for that team, like usually a dad does this kind of thing, kind of forcing you to get out there, making sure you got to get out there and get on that team, chances are that kid is not going to overcome what he needs to overcome to make that team, to close that gap between his abilities and what it takes. But if that kid loves football, if that kid has a desire to play, if that kid wants nothing more than to play, then you can bet he will overcome any disability that he has. He will overcome anything to get on that team. He will change his body and his soul to get on that team. That's what God wants from us, that our love for him is so deep that we want to do the things that please him, because those are the best things for us as well. But he wants us to do it because we love him and because we have confidence in his love for us. Now that seems so simple, right? And you've heard that 100 times if you've ever been to church, that what's inside us is going to dictate what comes out of us, that we're going to be the kinds of people we are in our hearts. But it's hard to do sometimes. And it's hard to remember that sometimes, I think. Because I think as people, we have a natural tendency to want to judge ourselves and judge others by the externals, don't we? I heard a talk by a woman a while back who said that men and women judge themselves and judge each other by very different standards. She said that women, and you tell me if this is right, because I mean, I don't really know. She said that women have a tendency to put pressure on themselves to be perfect. To make sure that everything in their families, everything in their jobs, everything in their households is just so. And they put a tremendous amount of pressure on themselves to do that and also make it look effortless. Like being perfect is just the most natural thing in the world. Does that resonate with anybody here? Yeah. So they put pressure on themselves and judge themselves by that criteria and judge other women the same way. Men have a completely different standard. Men tend to judge themselves and look at themselves and other men from the view of never showing any weakness, always having the answer, always being able, never being vulnerable, and never asking for direction. Actually, that's just mine. But you see what I'm getting at? We have this tendency to judge ourselves and judge others by the externals, just like Jesus is saying there, just like the Pharisees were setting people up to do. And of course, those standards are impossible to meet. Yet we will look at others and we'll think, oh gosh, it looks like they're doing it. It looks like they've got it together. What's wrong with me? Why am I so inadequate? Social media does this a lot, right? You look at pictures of what people, they say, man, look what they had for dinner. I had In and out, you know. Look at their vacation. Look at their house. We judge by these externals. And those kinds of judging, that kind of looking at the world that way, that causes envy within us. That comparing heart. From those, that kind of heart issues a lot of bad things. Well, Jesus said later on in this passage, that it's from our hearts that issue all kinds of evil, right? If our hearts are full of evil, we're going to be issuing forth evil thoughts and murderous thoughts. He says that's where sexual immorality comes from. That's where thievery comes from and lying, slander, all those things. And you know, we live in a world today where it seems to me we're kind of drenched in those things, aren't we? If you look around, if you listen to the news, if you look at television, we're kind of drenched in violence. We're kind of just showered with envy and showered with division and divisiveness. And we can soak those things up, friends. We can soak those things up into our own hearts. And then that's the kind of stuff that whether we like it or not will begin to flow from within us when we're squeezed by life. And we all get squeezed by life, right? We all get squeezed by life. What comes out in those situations is an indication of what we are soaking up in our hearts. Think about it. When we're squeezed at work by the demands of work, let's say we're falling behind, let's say other people are getting ahead, we're getting squeezed by those demands of work. If what comes out of us is lying to make ourselves look better, make other people look a little worse, that's not a good thing. When we're being squeezed by our kids, and the demands of our kids can squeeze us, right? If what's coming out is flashes of anger and impatience all the time, so our kids are like, you know, oh, grandma hates me, you know, or whoa, watch out for mom, she's in a bad mood. You know what I mean? If those are the things that are coming out, we got to check that. What are we soaking in? If we're being squeezed by those people in our lives who just really kind of make our lives miserable, you know, are we having murderous thoughts? Now, I know that we're not going to go out. We're too civilized to go murder somebody. We're not going to take a knife or a gun. But how about murdering someone's character by slander or gossip? We're being squeezed. We're being squeezed by temptation. When as married people, or people who are devoted to another, and we're in a situation with the opposite sex, what's coming out? What's being squeezed out? Is it a temptation to adultery, a temptation to immorality? If those are the things that are kind of coming out, and maybe we're able to kind of get them back, you know, but they're coming up. Maybe we have to think about soaking up more of God, soaking up more of Jesus, really soaking up Jesus. So that when we are squeezed at those moments in life, when we're squeezed by life itself, what comes out of us is the peace and the joy and the goodness and the kindness, the generosity, the self-control of Jesus. If we're soaking up Jesus, when we are squeezed, what's going to come out? Jesus. And that's an important thing for us. And that's what God wants us to do. He gave us Jesus so we don't have to worry so much about the doing, but we can worry. We can just rest in the who-ing. Just loving God and being confident in His love for us and soaking up Jesus so we can start to be the kinds of people He wants us to be every day. And listen, you know the best way to soak up Jesus? It's right in this place. Hello? Yes. Because we can get in that place where even with each other in church, even with each other in church, we can start focusing on the doing and not the who-ing, right? We can start to put on little airs for each other, like we have no problems, like we're just awesome, like everything is good between me and the Lord, like everything is good, and we put on that little pretend thing for each other. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to be real with each other, to be vulnerable with each other, to be honest with each other. Why? Because when we are honest with each other about where we are in our lives, then we are acknowledging that we trust in the love of God, that His love is in us, that He is behind us, that He is with us. No matter how we are struggling, we can share the truth with each other. Oh, my Lord is with me. And He is walking with me through anything. Hello. And my God, I'm trusting in Him. Not any old fake pretend stuff. So we are bringing glory to God when we're treating each other like His children who love Him and trust Him to be with us through anything. Can I tell you, Nikayla, one of our youth last week, she sort of touched on this in case you missed it, though I'm going to tell the story. We were all up there, you know, when you get up to the mission site, they break up all the church groups, and a person like me teamed up with another adult. You get a new group of kids, and I had two from our church on my team, but I had five from another church, so we're all new to each other, right? And we went out to the work site one day, and we started getting to know each other, working on the site, you know, and all of that. And then at evening time, we have worship together, and we have, you know, all kinds of fun games to play together. And we do it all as a work group. So you start to get to know each other a little bit. But the next day, this is Tuesday, we're out at the site, and Nikayla had a problem with her heart. And we knew this could happen. She has a pacemaker. So all of us at the site, we're out in the middle of nowhere. We have to get in the van. We drive an hour out to Spokane. We go to an emergency room. And that means all the rest of the group, I go in with Nikayla, the rest of the group, these young people, have to sit outside this emergency room. Now, does that sound like fun to anybody here? Sitting outside the emergency room, because they were too crazy to go inside. These are 15 and 16-year-olds. So we're there, and we had to leave. I have to go with Nikayla to another hospital in an ambulance, another hospital 10 minutes away. So that means these poor kids have to sit there and find a way to amuse themselves for 6 hours. Till finally I knew that Nikayla would have to stay the night. So, man, I'm beating it back to where these guys were, right? Back to that other hospital. I'm like, oh, these kids, they're going to be just going crazy. They're going to hate this whole experience. They can't get back. And they were having a program that night. Everybody was looking forward to it. I'm like, I got to get these kids back. I meet them, and they've had the best day. They're so excited. They're so beaming. They start telling me everything that they did, and the one thing that they wanted to do next was go see Nikayla in the hospital. They'd known her 2 days, but that's what they wanted to do, and I was so touched. And I'm telling you, I took this group over there, and I don't think that hospital's ever seen 7, 6, whatever it was, goofier kids making this poor Nikayla just laugh and feel like it was okay. I mean, she was feeling like she'd ruined things for people, but they were letting her know they loved her. Now listen, listen. I sincerely believe that it's because of the Jesus that they have soaked up in their churches, in our church, and the love of Jesus that they had soaked up in that place just for those 2 days of just worship and working together and determining that we were going to do good for people outside of our own little world, you know? That love of Jesus, that soaking up that love of Jesus came out in that moment. Hello, it did. Ha! And it was beautiful to see. Friends, yes, yes, amen indeed. Look. That's what we need to do too, every single day. Hello, Lord. Whoa, I'm woke up. Soak me up. Let me soak up your love today. I love you, and I know you love me. Now let's go at this day today. Ha. And let that be what comes out of me, oh Lord, is your love, your courage, your conviction, your self-control, your goodness, your gentleness, all of those good things. Yes, Lord, you take me. I'm soaking you up. Let's go. Hello? Yes. That's what God wants us to do today and every day. Ah. Look, this is how we soak up. Just like we're so concerned about our bodies, and we should be. We want our bodies to last as long as possible. But listen, I got news for you. They're going to wear out. They're going to expire. But guess what? Our soul is not. And today is the day to begin soaking up the nutrients and soaking up the nourishment of that Lord Jesus Christ into our souls so that we can be made fit for heaven today, starting today. Amen? Yes, Lord. Let's pray. Father, hello. Every day, oh Lord, we're faced with choices, yes. We're faced with choices, oh God, what we're going to let soak into us. Ah, Lord Jesus, let it be you today, tomorrow, the next day, and every day into eternity. We praise you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and rise up as we're able, and let's go out of here singing today. Number 154, all hail the power of Jesus' name. I think that's all right for today. 1, 2, and 6 verses.